Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Deidre Bayer and Jackie Moran. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel! Mari Fagel!
Wow, did I get two shout-outs there, or was that just me hearing that?
Oh, I heard a double shout-out there.
Oh, well, that's very exciting.
So, because you are that special, Mari.
With me, and Deidre will be joining us soon. But I can't wait to talk about this episode because the girls come back from Morocco, yet the drama still continues, of course, with these women. So, Jackie, we'll get into it. But what were your thoughts on this episode?
I have to say, I'm going to tell you what I wrote on the top of my notes here. I called this episode The Real Dirty Housewives of New York City because the fighting got dirtier, the couples got dirty. I was like, what is going on? They came back from Morocco and they've all lost their minds. I thought it was crazy. And some of it, I have to be honest, grossed me out. And some of the fighting entertained me. And I was feeling all different emotions all at once, I think.
Okay, so I think you and I are on the same page on what happened at the start of the episode. You may call it dirty. I just wrote on my notes, creepy. I wrote, enter creepiest segment all season. And what I mean by that is the back-to-back, they kind of showed all the housewives with their men, and Ramona planned a romantic night for Mario and was massaging his feet, and he was shirtless and she was in lingerie, and Alex and Simon brought it to, like, seeing Ramona and Mario was already weird enough, like 50-something, you know, getting their mood on, but Alex and Simon, who are younger, totally creeped me out and grossed me out because, first of all, I don't want to see these people that are, like, slapping each other's asses. And second of all, once again, is there not an elephant in the room? Like, is Simon gay or not? And that's just what makes it even creepier, him buying her lingerie in a lingerie fashion show. Because part of me thought, did he genuinely think, like buying her lingerie because it turns him on? Or does he like buying her lingerie because he likes shopping? Like, it was weird, and that's... It was so weird. So sorry,
I can't believe that you picked up on the same exact thing that I did, which was that he does this, I feel like, with every episode. He's growing in intensity just to show that he's not gay, yet it came through clear as day that he was more excited about shopping and about the clothes that he bought. And it was just, it was like he was more, like when women come home and try on the clothes that they bought, that's what I felt like, except she was dressing up for him, which was even weirder. And she called one of them an Elton John frock, which I thought was hilarious. And I agree. Like, from the second I saw Simon on the floor with a basket on his crotch, I was like, this is not going to be good. I felt like I almost had the wrong channel on. Like, it was a low budget, you know, one of those movies that come on in the middle of the night if you leave your TV on. But, I mean, Alex and Simon were definitely the creepier couple of the two. But even with Ramona and Mario, my problem with that, actually, more so than anything, was, and we've talked about this in the past, that I really felt that that scene was so staged. Like, the whole Mario cheating question mark with the fortune teller just felt so staged to me, because I feel like they're a great couple. They've been obviously married for many years. Did you feel that way as well? Like, that the producers
totally
just went too far
that.
On
like,
that?
I thought the fortune teller from the beginning, that whole thing was staged, and then last week when they were, like, editing it to look as if Mario didn't care much about his wife, that whole thing was staged. I think that the producers are trying to stir up drama, and the fact that they were going back and forth between Ramona and Mario and Alex and Simon, they were almost trying to show the difference. I mean, although Alex and Simon are, like, creepy, there's definitely some sort of love there, and she even said no one else's husband met them at the airport with roses, and it was kind of like a stark contrast, like Ramona was almost forcing it. And so I really don't think there's anything wrong with their marriage. I just think it's the producers meddling.
But I do have to say that I actually wrote this down, nice pecs, because Mario really does have a good body. I think you agree with me on that.
For an older man.
Yeah, I was really actually surprised, but I didn't need to see that, but at least it was a pleasant surprise.
I know, he is very good looking for an older man, though I didn't need to see her in the lingerie as well.
No.
But,
oh, no, and the red, everything red, like, oh, I thought it was a little tacky, but that's okay. That's just my opinion. I don't need to be picking out Ramona's lingerie anytime soon, so I'll leave that to them.
Mari, Jackie?
Hi, Deidre. So, okay, you came in at the perfect time. I totally want your opinion on Alex and Simon's romantic night and Ramona and Mario's.
Okay, let me just start off by prefacing this with, I'm all about keeping the romance alive, and even when you're married for a long time, you still have to do, you know, nice things for one another to, you know, just keep the, you know, the incentive there to keep loving each other and whatnot. I was dying during the Ramona and Mario scene. I think, aren't the rose petals for her? Like, you know, I think that would have been nice if he would have maybe surprised her as opposed to maybe vice versa. But I was a little put off by his behavior because he didn't seem too enthralled with the whole idea. And when she did you guys already talk about the confrontation about the fortune teller?
Yeah, we personally think that was staged and producers meddling.
I mean, it seemed a little bit it didn't jive well with the overall, like, tone of what she was trying to do. Like, if they're trying to have a nice night, I don't know why she would lay that on him at that moment. But, you know, I don't know. It just seemed a little odd. While I don't find Alex and Simon to be a great representation of what a great couple is, I do think it was sweet how he had, like, gifts for her and he picked her up at the airport with the roses. You know, I think that does speak to a certain level of how much they love each other and whatnot. They were definitely different.
Is it him overcompensating for trying to act straight?
That definitely is a possibility. Definitely.
Deidre, I had to think of you with that whole scene because I know how you are obsessed with the whole Simon appearance.
Oh,
and
die for him.
Here he is with a basket on his crotch and picking out frilly lingerie and all of the gay references from Elton John and whatnot. And I was like thinking of you the whole time laughing, saying I couldn't wait
Aww.
To talk about
him. Yeah, you guys know that I die for him. He's like my total comedic relief of the whole show. But yeah, I think it was a little weird to have the basket of panties like laying across his crotch while he's laying on the floor. You know, he could have simply handed it to her. But, you know, it's Simon, and his execution's always sort of off. But nonetheless, I thought it was really, really nice. You know, his wife came home from a trip, and he had gifts waiting for her, whereas Ramona, it was sort of the inverse. She had to plan the whole romantic night. So I guess it's just however you look at it or whatever you prefer. But I definitely would have wanted more of an evening personally, similar to Alex and Simon's.
Yeah, and besides those two couples, the show kind of showed the other women reuniting. So Jill brings Bobby to get some suits. Luann goes on a dinner date with Josh. And Cindy returns to her brother and her assistant and finds that Sonia has cut her out of all of the pictures that she took on the day they went horse or camel riding, which I think is absolutely hysterical.
Right, because you love Sonia.
I love Sonia.
Yeah.
I totally stick up for her. I think it's funny. Like, it's mean, but it's funny.
Well, I'm glad that we can agree to disagree, because I will never like Sonia. I will never, ever side with her, because I totally felt bad for Cindy. You know, she might not ever get to go back to Morocco, let alone have the trip of a lifetime, I believe, as Kelly put it. I think it's sad that she wasn't in any of the photos. And, like, that's like a cruel prank. If you want to get her, you know, put a snake in her hamper in Morocco. Do something like that. But to take away
it's
all her memories.
She has to remember the trip. She had cameras filming her the whole time. So not being in a picture is not the biggest deal. She has the home video to prove it.
I guess that is true. She has, you know, the Bravo representation. But still, sometimes the personal photos are nice, if maybe they would have had, like, you know, some things that didn't make it to air that she would have wanted to capture. Or to show friends, or, you know, because the show is only an hour and they were in Morocco for how long? Like a week and a half. I just thought that, you know, typical Sonia behavior. Let's just put it that way.
I don't know. I feel like Cindy's a tough chick. I feel like that's, if it were Jill and that happened to Jill or somebody, you know.
Oh, it would have been Waterworks.
It's such a different story.
Right.
But I feel like Cindy was like, whatever. If anybody can handle it, Cindy can handle it. And you're right, Mari, they're on national television, and I'm sure everybody had their cameras going. I feel like, again, the producers just added a little storyline, made a storyline out of it. So, I don't know. I was loving Sonia's line at the end where she's like, revenge is a dish best served cold. And she just pulls it off. She pulls off her actions. And, of course, Sonia gets, obviously, as the episode went on, into a whole different world. But I every time Sonia does something like this, I get a kick out of it. I'm with you, Mari.
That's fine. I
actually want your opinion, because I know you aren't a Sonia fan, but honestly, how could you not feel for her in this episode? So let me just kind of break it down for our listeners. What's going on with her bankruptcy at the time that this was being filmed, because I have an update in our news and gossip segment on what's going on. But basically, while they were in Morocco, it broke in the press that she had filed for bankruptcy, and in the news reports it listed that she was $19 million in debt. And first she comes back from Morocco and the dermatologist brings it up and she defends it. She says, I pay my bills, I don't have debt, don't believe what you read. And then when they're at Jill's shapewear consultation, Alex brings it up in a nice manner. She says, you know, how are you? She mentions the Wall Street Journal article. But then Jill takes it to a totally different level. I didn't think she was very sensitive personally. And she kept asking a million questions and trying to get to the bottom of it. And, you know, trying to give her all this advice. When really I agree with Alex and with Ramona, that all Sonia needed was a friend. And when Ramona visited, I thought that was a way better approach. She basically listened. She said, you'll be fine. I'm here for you. And I really felt so bad for Sonia, because she was saying to Ramona, you know, this is private. This isn't anyone's business. And then in the confessional, you know, her private confessionals that they show, she was crying and saying she's all alone. And she, you know, she trusted the wrong people, her husband isn't there for her, and that people are now looking at her under a microscope, and that she's heartbroken. And this is really the first time I've seen, you know, the other side of Sonia, and I couldn't help but feel bad. So, Deidre, I'm curious as to your take on that.
Of course.
Yeah, come on, Deidre.
Of course, 110%, I am empathetic. Anytime, anybody I know, somebody I watch on TV, whatever, is going through a difficult time, especially somebody who is reportedly $19 million, you know, in debt, or, you know, with filing for bankruptcy, stuff like that. I think Sonia gets a bad rap because of the way that she behaves and the Samantha Jones sort of comments, and she tries to be feisty and whatnot. But, you know, she is a human at the end of the day, and of course she has feelings, and of course she just wants a friend to talk to and, you know, somebody to just listen to her, because she seems like, it seems like this whole thing is a big misunderstanding, because she keeps saying, oh, it's just a few business deals gone wrong, and oh, it's not that big of a deal, my lawyers are figuring it out, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, she quote said she was heartbroken. The part of me that doesn't feel empathetic is when you agree to appear on a reality show, or when you enter into the public domain because you're a celebrity or a model or an actress, what have you, you agree to expose your life to millions and millions of viewers worldwide. So for her to be, you know, sort of complaining about, oh, people keep asking me questions and whatnot, I think it's only natural that these women are going to have questions, because she, you know, parades around like she's, you know, Princess Diana financially, but now she's going through some issues and she doesn't want to talk about it. So that was the only issue that I really had with it. But of course, I feel bad for her. I hope it all gets resolved, because it does seem like there's some just complications with that whole movie deal that went sour. So that's kind of where I stand on that issue.
Well, what
I have to say,
what you thought.
Sorry, go ahead, Mari. Did you want to jump in?
What you thought of Jill's reaction versus Alex and Ramona's reaction?
Jill was way too abrasive. Absolutely.
Okay,
she was asking questions and getting technical with terms like assets and this and that. And that's definitely none of her business. I think Sonia, as these women's friend and as somebody that they've all traveled together with and their castmates, she definitely owes them a bit of an explanation to just sort of clear the air, so they know what to believe and what not to believe and what to read in the paper and what not to read in the paper. But for Jill, I mean, it's typical Jill. She wants to know everything. Like, I believe they called her Barbara Walters last week when she was talking to that guide in Morocco. She just is innately inquisitive, and she wants to know all these, you know, questions. And I don't think it's necessarily coming from a bad place, more so just an inquisitive sort of a place. But yeah, she was definitely out of line. They should have been discussing what they were there to discuss, her shapewear. They weren't there to discuss Sonia's personal life and her finances. You don't do it in front of a room.
Right. I feel like, first of all, being a Sonia fan, I don't even know if it's the fact that I'm a Sonia fan or just the fact that I really thought for reality TV, here was a moment that reality TV actually was real, because, you know, Deirdre, you're saying, like, she shouldn't be not wanting to share herself. And I think she was very open with the world and her viewers, and really very genuine in her emotions and her private confessional. I feel like she didn't hold back, and I don't even feel like she was doing it for TV. I feel like that was just her and her genuine reaction. And I never felt so connected to somebody on this show as of that moment. I really felt so bad for her, and I really think what she's going through is real, and it's hard on her. And I think her problem was more that it was these women who didn't really care about her situation and just trying, as I think Alex said, Jill was jumping down her throat like a rabid dog. I think it was more that it was the situation with the women, not the fact that it was on television, but the way they were, she called it, like they were picking lint at me and jumping down my throat. And I think that was her problem, is that it was a bunch of women that, you know, not all of them, but a few of them, like Jill, were more concerned with how they were coming off with the problem or how they were going to solve it or what they thought about it than listening to how she felt and what she thought. She, as Alex was dead on here, she just needed somebody to listen, and Jill was just the perfect example of, she was just more concerned with getting her opinion out there than actually hearing what Sonia had to say.
Right.
So,
and to the contrary,
one of the other girls' reaction, she didn't interact with Sonia, but she said this in the confessional. Luann claimed that now she understands Sonia's odd behavior. She attributes Sonia's wacky behavior to the bankruptcy, where she thought, oh, it was because of Ramona, and now she's like, oh, well, now I understand why she's acting weird. It's because of the bankruptcy, which I totally disagree with that. I think Sonia always loves to have a good time.
Yes.
And I, once again, it made me dislike Luann, and trust me, I will go into how much I dislike her later on. But I really didn't like that comment, and I personally did not agree with it.
100% agreed on that. Sonia has always owned up to being, and I know I said it before and I sound like a broken record, but she's the Samantha Jones. She is the first one to make a funny comment or to go do something silly or to flirt with the waiter or the bartender or whoever. She's not acting out like that because of Ramona, and she's not acting out like that because of financial issues. That's who she is as a person, and that's awesome. I think that that's great that she knows who she is and she owns it.
I actually, when that line was said, I didn't even understand it because I didn't even, like, what was the odd behavior? I didn't even feel like there was odd behavior. It was the typical Sonia behavior. It just, you're right, it just didn't make any sense, and it was uncalled for. It was just not a necessary comment at all. And I know we go back and forth on Luann, Mari, but I have to agree, like, I don't even think that it made any sense, let alone was a necessary comment, so...
Well, I'm going to give all my opinions on Luann, don't you worry, during the Luann and Alex fight. But first I want to get into the other big fight of the episode, which the two women actually weren't in the room at all this episode, but Jill versus Ramona continues. So Jill invited the women to evaluate the shapewear, everyone but Ramona, and she claimed the reason why was because she couldn't trust Ramona. She doesn't want her negativity. And she claimed, so a while back, Jill had a deal with Kodak, and it was filmed, Ramona talking to Jill saying that Kodak was antiquated, and so Jill blames the fact that she lost that deal on Ramona, which I don't get, but, you know, so Jill didn't invite her. Alex said she didn't understand it because Ramona is the only one who actually has a fashion background, so I totally agreed with her on that point. And then when Alex went to tell Ramona that she wasn't invited, I thought what Ramona said, I personally agreed with it. She said that when you have a problem, Jill is there for you, like with Sonia. And when you're happy, she's jealous, like with Bethany. So I actually totally agree with that. And Jill just last week told Ramona, let's be more open, let's communicate and share how we're feeling. And Ramona said, if she didn't want to invite me, that's fine. But I thought the whole point was to be open and communicate. So I totally was on Ramona's side here. So that's why I want to get your take.
Definitely. You know, I'm not really a Ramona fan either, but definitely 100% on her side here as well. I liked when Ramona said, you know what, if she wants to call me up and say, look, I'm having this, you know, shindig and you're not invited, you're the only one I'm not inviting, my feelings would be hurt, but at least I would respect the situation and I would move on. The fact that, you know, Jill just took the typical fifth grade girl move and just went ahead with her event and didn't bother to tell Ramona about it, I think was very childish. I don't really know. I think these women just need to bite the bullet and be more mature and just act their age, because Jill in Morocco is giving this whole spiel about how, you know, you and me just need to start fresh and we need to just, you know, address issues head on as soon as they erupt. And here she goes again, creating another issue. So definitely Jill in the wrong here, in my opinion.
Exactly. This last week, I believe, if you recall, Mari, I said that the scene with Jill apologizing was very fake, and this proves that point perfectly. I mean, she goes, gets home, and goes behind her back and purposely doesn't invite her, when Ramona truly does invite everybody all the time to all of her events. You have to give her credit for that. And Jill, knowing that they just came off of this trip and doing this, and not inviting Ramona, knowing full well it will get back to her. I'm sorry, but that was so sneaky, and you're right, immature. It was just very immature behavior, and I feel like she knows what she's doing here, and yet she's going to come off like all innocent. Like, how could you? I'm waiting to see a face-off here on this, because she's going to come off like the innocent victim again, and I'm not going to take it. I will not take it from Jill. That's what I have to say.
Let me ask you both a question really quickly. Did you guys even know about this Kodak endorsement? I never saw any commercials. I never saw any advertisements.
I don't know about it, but all I know is I'm pretty sure you don't lose a Kodak endorsement because of another cast member. I mean,
right? Because a cast member made one comment to you on one random episode. That there's definitely more to that story. And don't try to blame it on Ramona, because that's just low.
That's exactly how I feel. And so I'll have to see Jill the rest of the season, but Jill is the woman I go back and forth with the most. I like the one episode, and I really dislike her next. I like her one, I dislike her the next. The other women, I seem to be pretty consistent, and the only explanation I have for my feelings in Jill is that she's two-faced. But
yes, absolutely.
What about one woman who I have very strong opinions about that have not changed this season, but have only been exacerbated, is Luann. So Luann and
here
Alex
we go.
Sit at lunch, and Alex comes to discuss what happened in Morocco. Luann comes, I guess, expecting an apology from Alex, and there already is a miscommunication. And that was an ugly fight to watch. It was hard to watch because Luann kept talking over Alex so much I could barely even hear Alex. But the best part was when Alex stood up for herself and she called Luann vile, dismissive, haughty, and condescending.
How's that for SAT vocab?
Seriously?
I know. That was like a quick runoff of vocabulary.
That was awesome.
Where do you guys lie on the Luann v. Alex?
Okay. When you are mature enough to say, hey, look, I have a conflict with you or I have an issue with you, let me call you up. Let me try to arrange a date where we can meet and talk things out face to face. I think you definitely get 10 points for going and establishing that step of the resolution. I was so turned off by Luann's attitude throughout that entire lunch. You know, Alex went there with a positive attitude. She wanted to have cappuccino, you know, and just sort of talk it through, keeping a level-headed temperament. From the get-go, Luann's, like, just snotty attitude. She's like got her arms crossed, and she just right off the bat, within like 5 seconds of sitting down, she calls Alex embarrassing, and she's got this sassy little smirk on her face the whole time, as though she knows. I hate to revert back to Mean Girls, but Luann reminded me of Regina George with Alex being like the Lindsay Lohan, like the shy kind of newcomer who's just sort of coming into her own. And I just don't think that that's fair. I think Luann definitely would have acted differently had it been a different woman, like maybe a Ramona or a Jill, who she knows can keep up and can verbally spar back and forth with her. But I think she sort of took advantage of the fact that Alex is, you know, a little more laid back with her approach. And Alex definitely tried. I definitely was rooting for her because she was trying to get her point across assertively, but still nicely. And Luann just wasn't having it. And calling her embarrassing, that's just low also. That was just rude and uncalled for.
Well, this is my total take on this, and I don't want to confuse anything. I agree. This is where I agree, that Luann was a down-and-dirty bitch. She was straight-up bitch. But here's why I liked it, because I love seeing this venom come out, because you know that's what she has in her, and she lets out little pieces of it here and there in her passive-aggressive, condescending manner.
True.
And I like it when she unleashes. I love the venom because you know she has it in her, and I'd rather her let it out. And poor Alex, I really do feel bad for her. I think she wishes she never clomped down those stairs because she got in the ring with, like, a true heavyweight here, and she could not hold her own. You're right. She tried to revert to her vocabulary and barely got it out. But Luann was, like, not having it. She was like, you came after me in your Herman Munster shoes. Yeah, even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes. Like, watch out, girl.
Yeah.
I am going to hold my own here. I mean, she didn't deserve to say what she was saying, but at least she owned that conversation and was just, I like that straight up bitch from her. I love to hate her as I watch her.
I think that that's a good point you bring up.
I love to hate her because some of those comments, I was watching that fight and I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, She claimed that Alex has had one too many Pinot Grigios with Ramona. So yes, she manages to get a dig at Ramona in there.
Of course.
Then at the end, was that not a threat when she was like, she was walking up and storming out and she said, get a life and don't forget what happens to the messenger. Does that mean she's going to shoot her?
I was going to say, is she referring to that old adage, everyone shoots the messenger or whatnot? Like, where did that come from? Does that even make any sense at all?
She got, like, mafia on her.
Yeah, she really did. And I agree with you, Jackie. I do like to see Luann taking a break from the whole, oh, darling, you have to go about it this way. She finally, for once, was just like, look, I'm a city slicker. I own this conversation. You are not going to get a word in, and I am going to waltz out of here and embarrass the hell out of you. I don't agree with what she did, but completely see what you're saying when you say you love the Venom, because that was really fun to watch.
Right? I mean, it was horrible. I wish I could just hug Alex through it, because she had no idea what she was stepping into. But at least as a viewer, I enjoyed it.
100%, yes.
So okay, that's well, kind of my Luann pick. I'd rather see her like that than the passive-aggressive Luann.
Me too.
Oh, darling.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we go to a little commercial break before we come back to some news and gossip and our predictions?
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on. AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so as we were talking about Sonya Morgan's bankruptcy, I just wanted to update our listeners on the latest. So during this episode, while they were filming, she had just filed for bankruptcy. A month ago, a U.S. Court of Appeals upheld a ruling that demanded that she pay $7 million to Hannibal Productions after pulling out of financing a film. And now she, in court papers, described herself as a television personality with an income of $26,000 a month and homes in New York, Telluride, and France. She lost a malpractice claim against her lawyers and failed to receive the payout she hoped to pay the Hannibal Productions with. She was hoping that if she won that malpractice suit against her lawyers, she would use that money to clear up this other suit, but it didn't go in her favor, and she said, quote, "I'm shocked. I don't know how I'll pay, but I'm a hard worker. I'll survive." And then, of course, Sonya needs to always add in that little extra oomph, and she says, "Mo money, mo problem."
Die for it. Love that.
I was sad for her, but at least she always makes me smile, even through that.
Yeah, that's the silver lining right there, that she can still have a sense of humor about this massive amount of debt that she's in. I think that that's awesome, and she is a hard worker, and she's definitely earning income from Bravo, and she can certainly milk herself some endorsements if she makes herself available and puts out, you know, in the public domain that she's interested. So I don't think she'll have any problem bouncing back from this.
Right. I really love her positive attitude, and I really got into some trouble here, but actually she does all the things that she says she's done in the past. She does seem like a hard worker. So she's just going to have to work a little bit here and make it happen.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep posted on all the bankruptcy drama, and we will keep our listeners posted as well. I want to get your opinions on this. So Bethany Frankel has a rumored development deal with Telepictures, their division of Warner Brothers, for her own daytime talk show. They tapped her to host an advice-based talk show, and it actually began taping earlier this month. And apparently Ellen DeGeneres is a producer and is involved with the project. So my question to you guys is, would you watch a Bethany Frankel talk show?
Absolutely. Like, no doubt about it. I loved Bethany Getting Married. I loved Bethany Ever After. I think she's an interesting woman with a really cool sort of perspective on life, and she tells it like she sees it. So I could see her benefiting a lot of people who go to her with marital issues, adolescent issues, any money issues. I really think that she would be a great source of information for a lot of different people, and she wouldn't sugarcoat it, and she'd tell it to you like it is. So I think it'd be a really interesting talk show, and good for Ellen DeGeneres for hopping on the bandwagon with that. They're going to be a cool team to see what they can put together.
Well, I have to say, I think haters might say, what has she done besides be on a reality television show? Like, what does she know? But my argument to that would be, like, she sold a multi-million dollar, you know, skinny girl fortune. She's a slick New Yorker. I love a good New Yorker. And you're right, she tells it like it is. She's real. And I think she's very with it. And I think she has some of the best one-liners in reality television history. So I feel like she'd deliver advice in an entertaining way. And if Ellen DeGeneres is supporting her, who's had a great talk show career, then I think it would definitely be worth watching.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch it. I'm not sure if I would take advice from her, like, because part of me thinks, what kind of advice does she have to offer? But usually a lot of these advice-based talk shows, they have, like, experts on and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how it's done, but I'll definitely watch. And finally, I mentioned last week in News and Gossip about this discrimination lawsuit against Cindy, and now she's lashing back. She claimed that the employee didn't do her job well and was killing business. She said, quote, in an effort to mask her own deficient work performance and serial on-the-job screw-ups, the woman in a racist fashion asserts that her race, national origin, and skin color were the basis for her termination. She explains that the woman was only employed for 2.5 months before she was fired over disciplinary and other work performance problems, including client complaints, and that this is merely a defamatory campaign to ruin her reputation.
Yeah, I'm definitely torn on that because you don't know what goes on behind the closed doors. So one part of me wants to think, you know, maybe that did happen and maybe this woman does have merit to her claims. But by the same token, Cindy's now a household name and she's on this successful television show. And everybody out there has every reason in the world to want to go after her and feel entitled to a chunk of her change. So I'm sure they'll get it all figured out. I'm sure this will settle and it'll never actually like go to trial. But let's hope for the best and that they can just, you know, settle this situation because it seems messy and stupid and it could definitely be resolved without having to go through all the logistics of the legal system. So
I agree. I just think it feels like a total unnecessary, you know, problem in Cindy's life just because of that is the price you pay for becoming a public figure. And it's, unfortunately, it happens all the time, and I just hope for Cindy's sake that it gets cleared up very soon. And I feel bad automatically assuming that this woman is in the wrong, but that's just my initial gut instinct telling me that, and I just hope either way that it gets resolved quickly for everybody's sake.
From what we know, but, yeah, Cindy doesn't seem to be a racially hateful person.
Right.
I agree that I'm not sure how much this merit this claim has, only because the timing to me seems very
peculiar.
I don't know. It seems odd. So let's get into some predictions for next week.
Oh, I'm waiting for the music.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
There it is.
Okay, well, from what I thought seemed like Sonya's bankruptcy troubles continue to unfold on camera, and we had a little rival birthday party action going on between Luann's daughter's Sweet 16 and Ramona's daughter's birthday party, and on top of those birthday parties, Jill has a surprise party, and from what I saw, I just saw Ramona acting crazy.
Absolutely died for Ramona's impression of Jill with the blonde wig. Bobby, I need bang of diamonds! Blah, 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 blah. I thought that was absolutely hysterical, so hopefully Jill doesn't take it too offensively and finds the humor in that, because they're obviously there to celebrate her. But back to the Sweet 16 thing, I do love me some MTV My Super Sweet 16. I love to see people battling it out to see who can have a more ridiculously obnoxious, over-the-top sort of a party, so it'll be interesting to see how Avery's party fares with Victoria's.
I agree. I'm, like, totally excited that I'm not surprised that they have dueling parties going on. Leave it to the Housewives to do it that way. But I'm, like, can't wait to see all of these parties because I'm dying to see how big they all go with it. And you're right. The whole Ramona Jill imitation is, I just have a feeling, going to continue that battle. And it's, why do I have a feeling that Jill is not going to react well to that, you know? I can't wait to see that.
Totally.
Well, guys, I can't wait to discuss it with you. And thank you for joining me tonight and breaking down all the drama and letting me vent on my hatred for Luann.
Yeah, we love it. We love hearing it.
I guess
Okay, well, thank you so much, and join us next week.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.